I don't regret what I did to John Cena. I embarrassed him. Another guy I embarrassed was Triple H. He's always been jealous of me. Triple H lasted nearly 1 hour in a cell with The Undertaker, but he couldn't last 1 minute in a fight with me. Triple H tried to push his weight around because now he has an office job. I had an agreement with the company and he broke it, so I broke his arm. I don't care about Triple H. I don't care about you people, and I don't care about the corporate suits at WWE, because I, Brock Lesnar, am never coming back. Because I, Brock Lesnar, quit.
Their mother old ends. Rats snitch on one another old ends.
This is David Otunga, the only Harvard Law School graduate in WWE, the smartest WWE wrestler, matter of fact, the smartest wrestler in the world, and you're listening to Smack Talk Radio.
I knew this madman Bill, he didn't have a dollar. He was all the material, Ivy League scholar, had a PhD. NBA.
Quick take, running down the week that was.
Companies downsizing, inflation's rising. Can't find a job, it's feeling kind of stressed. Doesn't even feel your best.
Thursday evening, Smack Talk Radio Live back on the air. I'm Corey Callahan sitting alongside James McDonald. James, I ask every week, how you doing tonight?
And I reply every week, I'm doing great, buddy. How about you?
We need to really improve on how we open our show.
Hey, at least we're doing a show.
That's right. Smack Talk Radio Live's quick take. We're just going to run down our random thoughts on the week that it was in professional wrestling. In order to find this show, you got to head over to www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or if you're hip and cool to the scene, at SRL Radio on Twitter. Huge week in the world of professional wrestling, James, because the return of a man who managed the phenom Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, returning to the WWE.
That's right, that happened this past Monday night on Raw. He came out as Brock Lesnar's legal representation. What do you think about that?
I thought it was an interesting way to re-debut Paul Heyman. I liked what he had to say. I mean, he's still got it when it comes to the microphone. That's for damn sure.
I just love the way he says Brock Lesnar. You know, it's just, he rolls it off. I'm not even going to attempt to emulate it, but just the way he rolls it off his voice.
I got to admit, gives you chills, you know? I got to admit that wrestling needs Paul Heyman right now. There's a real void missing in today's product, and Paul Heyman represents that missing void in a sense, metaphorically, and I was actually glad to see him back, I gotta say.
Is it kind of sad that Paul Heyman was the best part of Monday Night Raw on Monday?
Which was weird because he didn't close out the show.
No, he didn't. It was just, I don't know, the whole structure of Monday night's show was just kind of off to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, it just seemed, when Raw went off the air on Monday, it seemed very awkward. It seemed like there was nothing really to look forward to next week.
It just, I don't know. To me, it wasn't a very good Raw.
You had Lord Tensai and Daniel Bryan beating CM Punk in a handicap match.
And yeah.
No just real surprise that they would. And that's how we end Raw. It seemed bizarre to me.
I don't even know what to say about that. It just.
But getting back to Paul Heyman.
Right.
What do you remember about Paul Heyman in his early days with the WWE?
Well, honestly, with Paul Heyman, I remember him when they did the invasion angle. That was what really sticks out in my mind. He was kind of the face and the voice behind the ECW, the kind of third faction in that whole thing.
What about when he was he was managing Brock Lesnar when he took on The Rock at SummerSlam?
That would be the second part, but
that was back in 2002.
That was 10 years ago.
So he is a familiar face for Brock Lesnar, and you know those guys are, from what I understand, good friends outside the wrestling world.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Heyman was part of Brock Lesnar's book that came out not too long ago. So those guys definitely do have a very good relationship. I thought he represented Brock Lesnar well as a heel, and I mean,
he's a good manager. He knows, he's very good on the mic. He's he knows his role and he plays it well.
The bigger story, though, James, about that segment on Monday Night Raw was not Paul Heyman returning. It's that, please, Brock, don't leave the WWE.
Come back home.
We need you.
You're only here a month. You know?
Wrestling needs you, Brock. I mean,
I can't even keep a straight face doing this.
This is what bugs me about this. We've seen it time and time again. A wrestler quitting in the show. Apparently, he's quit the WWE, James. He's not coming back.
Oh, of course, he's quit.
He has quit? Is that what you just said?
No.
Oh.
No. I said, of course, he's quit. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, no.
You can't tell.
It's so stupid that they do that. We just saw it last year. Who quit and then came back?
It was CM Punk. He quit, and then the very next week, he came out to his new music, which he still uses now.
So how long do you think Brock Lesnar will actually be off TV for
here? I think he'll probably be off until, I'd say July, honestly.
Think so?
I think we won't see him for the rest of May.
I'm giving
possibly
it,
not for June.
I'm giving it two more Monday Night Raws. You're going to have Paul Heyman come out next week, say something else. And then that week following, you're going to have Brock Lesnar back on television with Paul Heyman at his side.
Well, you know what? You could be right. With the way that WWE is writing and booking their product lately, nothing would surprise me at this point, honestly.
Well, we know that Brock Lesnar has limited dates in the WWE. And, you know, to fill that void, but to still keep that Brock Lesnar presence on Monday Night Raw, you offer Paul Heyman a small contract. I mean, he's obviously not making Brock Lesnar money.
Apparently, he's only sticking around until August, I believe.
Right up until SummerSlam.
Exactly.
So, interesting. But you're happy to see Heyman back, that's for sure?
Oh, it's going to be interesting to see Heyman in this era, I guess, of WWE.
Did you like what he had to say?
Well, it wasn't really anything groundbreaking. It wasn't anything that, I guess, would shock me or, you know, make me go, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. But,
well, what do you make of this whole storyline with Brock Lesnar and Triple H? I mean, Brock Lesnar has apparently broken Triple H's arm. He's, from all accounts, Triple H is going to be hurt for a while and not being able to wrestle. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that if these two are going to have a match, it's going to be a well-built, long-down-the-road type storyline. Kind of like what we saw with Triple H and Kevin Nash. Remember when Kevin Nash had injured Triple H,
right,
and they had actually skipped an entire pay-per-view before they had gotten to their match together. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's quite possible that that's what we're seeing here again,
mm-hmm,
with Brock Lesnar breaking Triple H's arm. They're going to skip the over-the-limit pay-per-view and possibly have a match at the next pay-per-view.
And how would you think they would build their feud here?
Well, you're going to have Triple H come out again and answer the call to for Brock Lesnar breaking his arm.
Okay.
You know, where they go from there is yet to be determined.
I think they'll progress this program in the way of through maybe some legal battles, kind of maybe reflecting on when Brock Lesnar originally left the WWE 10 years ago, where they kind of had a legal battle over money, yeah, owed and length of contract still left.
Well, this would be a good opportunity for Triple H to show that he is the guy in charge,
yes,
of the WWE.
I'm just saying, to build this feud going forward, I think instead of seeing the guys come out to the ring and cut promos standing in the middle of the ring, you're going to see a lot more kayfabe, I guess, I don't like to use that word, but, you know, behind the scenes, mm-hmm, kind of stuff, legal battles over, you know, the whole contract
revisions.
Yeah, the contract revisions that John Laurinaitis apparently agreed to, right? So maybe you'll see a lot more kind of legal wrangling, I think.
So they're going to make that a focus of the story?
Yeah, maybe. I think, well,
no, I mean, obviously it's remained, yeah, to be seen.
Exactly.
But that's a good idea for sure. I'm sure there's other ideas out there.
I, they got to do something different. I don't, you know, I don't think it's going to be, like I just said, you know, guys coming out cutting promos on each other week after week. It's going to be something different. They're obviously going to get their social media engine involved in it somehow. And that's, mm-hmm, really, I think, how they're going to... This is just what I'm thinking. I could be wrong.
A problem that I have with what I saw on Monday Night Raw is here you have a guy come out the night after Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how badly he beat down everyone. You know, he Triple H comes out. Mm-hmm. Sorry, he talks about how badly he beat John Cena. Triple H comes out, says that, you know, you may have beat him down badly, but all these negotiations that you had negotiated with Laurinaitis prior to the pay-per-view about all these perks of being here in the WWE.
The private jet, the name change.
Those are all gone.
Right.
So, you know, it does become that battle. The next week on Raw, you have Paul Heyman come out and announce that Brock Lesnar's quit. Now, this doesn't make Brock Lesnar look that good.
But then again, Brock Lesnar doesn't care what people think about him. Brock Lesnar is all about Brock Lesnar. Remember, he's all about the money.
And,
he said this.
But they're trying to make him look, they're trying to build him up to be like this powerful force. But from what I've seen so far, he's not that powerful because, number one, he's lost to John Cena.
Exactly.
Right off the bat.
It all goes back to the loss at Extreme Rules.
And number two, he quits as soon as he doesn't get what he wants. How am I supposed to think that Brock Lesnar is this powerful man and, you know, devastating and we should all be scared of him when really the answer is you just don't give him what he wants?
I think they're just really trying to push him as this kind of outsider heel who's trying to hold the whole of WWE ransom. So, and I think in that aspect, they're doing a good job.
He's trying to say that he is the WWE at this point.
Oh, he's trying to say that he's bigger than the WWE is what he's trying to say.
Again, though, that argument is hard to agree with because he lost to John Cena.
Exactly. It all goes back to the poor booking decision in the final 5 minutes of Extreme Rules.
And Cena really killed that momentum that Lesnar had because not only did he win, he was well enough to grab the microphone and give a speech after.
And he only got, what, 2-3 moves in of offense the entire match?
Yeah.
And he wins? I don't know. It's just, I don't know whose idea it was to come up with that, but that honestly has...
It's just,
in my opinion, that has Vince McMahon ego written all over it.
It's just tough. It's just tough to sell me on the idea that Lesnar is this unstoppable force when in his first match back, he was stopped right away.
Yeah.
Right? That's the problem here. And you have Triple H apparently coming out putting a stop to it. Well, technically, Cena just did. You know? I don't know. That's my issue with the storyline.
No, I
see. That being said, I also don't like that they are rushing Triple H versus Lesnar right away. He should have ran through someone else. I've talked about this on last week's show. I think that you should have put someone in between Cena and Triple H.
Maybe somebody like CM Punk.
Or Randy Orton. To give him that momentum back.
Yeah.
Heading into a major storyline with Triple H.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened here.
Well, according to some of these dirt sheets on the internet, apparently there was a program between Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar.
Is this
that was scheduled?
So this is where you get your facts for Smack Talk Radio Live.
Dirt sheets, man.
Internet dirt sheets.
Not all of them, but I will admit I do look on the internet. I mean,
of course,
you have to, right? I'm just saying. I know who knows if these things are true or not. Obviously, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here condoning the credibility of these things, but apparently, according to. You know, everybody who quotes Dave Meltzer.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That there was a program between Orton and Lesnar that was scheduled, actually, but apparently it's been scrapped now.
Well, speaking of Randy Orton, he has been given a match at the upcoming Over the Limit pay-per-view, and that would be in a Fatal 4-Way with himself, Chris Jericho, Alberto Del Rio, and Sheamus, and that's for the World Heavyweight Championship.
So do you think that they maybe... So what's your opinion on this? Do you think that they threw Orton and Jericho into this match because, A, they weren't confident that Sheamus and Del Rio were going to have a good enough match to draw numbers, draw pay-per-view buys? Or was it because that they just don't know what to do with Orton and Jericho right now?
I'm going to go with the latter. I think that they just don't know what to do with these four. I mean, you have Chris Jericho just coming off a series of losses to CM Punk. You know, it's hard for him to just build up credibility and go for the SmackDown, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship right away. You got to, he's lost in transition at this point. And then you have Sheamus, who's now ending his program with Daniel Bryan. He's looking for something new. This is a standard fatal four-way at a match, this is a standard fatal four-way at a pay-per-view, which will determine the direction of these four guys. So this is going to be a Kickstarter-type pay-per-view match for sure.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
So, I know. I do know what you're saying. So, you're saying that other, I guess, programs could spawn out of the outcome of this match, maybe?
I think all four of these guys will go in a certain direction. And, you know, two of them will probably go off in one direction. Two of them will go off in the other direction.
Okay.
And that'll all come out of this match at Over the Limit. And see, this is one of those matches that you're not going to be able to predict because they could go a million ways with it. You have four guys who are looking for feuds and storylines to start what better way to start it than at that match at Over the Limit?
That's true, but really, you don't think this match is predictable? I honestly can't see any way that Sheamus loses this match.
Really?
No.
And what's your reasoning for that?
I don't think they'd take the belt off him this early. They've strapped the rocket to Sheamus, and he's on his way to Pluto.
He did lose it to Daniel Bryan recently, though.
What, the title?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He didn't lose it to Daniel Bryan at Extreme. Oh, no, he didn't.
No.
Sorry.
No, he won the 2 out of 3 falls.
No, that's right.
Yeah. No, they've strapped the rocket to him, man. They're not going to take the belt off him now.
Well, what about before WrestleMania? He was heading into the program with Daniel Bryan. Yeah. Daniel Bryan was the champion. He beat... Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry.
Like, Sheamus has been looking good since... for all of 2012, to be honest.
No, it's true. Yeah, he hasn't really had a bit of a
downside. Honestly, I really can't see them just all of a sudden taking the belt off him now for no reason. Honestly, I'm more excited for this match now that it's a fatal four-way with Jericho and Orton involved.
Mm-hmm.
But... like I said, I really can't see Sheamus losing this one.
The reason why I'm having trouble remembering Sheamus, I'm just so unexcited about the World Heavyweight Championship.
It's like they're shoving him down our throats. Nobody cares about Sheamus, or at least I don't. I'm not excited about Sheamus at all.
The crowd boos him. I mean, it's rare that... I mean, it's not rare, I should say, but there are certain cities that do boo Sheamus when he comes out.
He's your classic example of Vince McMahon telling you what you should like.
Yeah, I agree. For sure.
That's just my opinion.
Well, my apologies. I should have had my facts a little better. What about Brodus Clay this week on Monday Night Raw, taking on The Miz in really a first type of match that we've seen
Brodus
Clay.
An actual match?
Exactly. That's
you
what
know,
I was getting to.
Where The Miz actually got some near falls on him?
A match where Brodus Clay actually struggled a little bit.
Well, I know. I mean...
what's bigger news? Brodus Clay beating The Miz or The Miz losing to Brodus Clay?
Oh, I'd probably say the bigger news of the whole situation for me would be Brodus Clay having an actual match. I mean, yes, you could kind of tell that it was The Miz. You can tell that Brodus Clay is still somewhat green in the ring. Mm-hmm. And you could, I don't know, if you watch that match really close, you could really see The Miz feeding him instructions a lot of the time.
Okay.
But yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this was kind of a test to see if, you know, he could actually go out and work a non-squash match.
Is Brodus Clay one of these characters that should be winning and should win for a very long time?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what direction they take with him, you know, because, like, how far do you go with a gimmick like this? Do you put a huge undefeated streak a la Goldberg on somebody like
that's
Brodus
what I'm
Clay?
Getting at. Like, is this a possibility here? Like, do we have a guy that possibly could go on a very long winning streak and it comes down to who will be the guy to beat Brodus Clay?
Yeah.
Because The Miz, it would really be his first main event test, if you want to put it that way. A guy who has been in the main event spotlight, who is finally facing Brodus Clay. Mm-hmm. You know, up until this point, it's all been mid-card, low-card, jobber-type wrestlers that have taken on Brodus Clay. Right. But we have The Miz here. And, you know, for a second there, we thought maybe The Miz would be the guy. But you could really run with this whole story of guys getting close to beating Brodus Clay, but he just somehow pulls out the victory every week.
Pulls out the headbutt and the body splash, and that's it?
I think he's the type of character where you could run with that. Really, I believe that.
So are you still enjoying the Funkasaurus character?
I cannot believe I'm saying it, but the whole gimmick has turned around on me.
Yeah?
It's not terrible.
You were very much against it when it first came out.
Well, because I thought his credibility would be severely damaged right off the bat.
No, I hear you. I was right there with you.
But it's grown. I think a lot of people would agree with me that it's grown on myself and them.
Mm.
And he is a credible wrestler, yet he has this ridiculously over-the-top, lavish gimmick. Like, it's rare that you can put those two together. I say his look and his size it speaks volumes in this situation. Mm-hmm. Because he has a really unique look.
He's a good performer. I will give that to him. He can go out there and, you know, mm-hmm. he can dance and he can...
The problem is when they pair him up with someone like Hornswoggle, right? Because then he's just terrible. Like, I don't want to watch him. But when he's taking on a guy like The Miz and he hasn't lost yet, for some reason, I'm legitimately interested in that match.
I call Hornswoggle the anchor of professional wrestling because when he gets tied to you, you sink. You get buried.
No, it's true. It's true. So, but what about The Miz losing to Brodus Clay? Is that a sign of anything or not really?
Oh, well.
I mean, we've already discussed his downfall.
What more can you say about The Miz? I mean, this guy has just...
Does it turn around at some point?
This guy has sunk like a brick. You know what? I would hope so. They're not going to get rid of him. They're not going to release him anytime soon because he's just too valuable a public relations asset. But yeah, you know, it's like, are they going to just keep burying this guy?
Well, it's tough. I mean, to me, that's a tough sell to have a guy turn around. The guy has pretty much lost to everyone.
I almost feel like he's maybe stepped on some toes in the back, and that's, I don't know, maybe kind of why he's in the position that he's in right now. So. Hmm.
No, it's true. It's just a very sad situation.
Who knows? I could just be bullshitting.
Yeah. So. What about Lord Tensai this week? Him pairing up with Daniel Bryan in a handicap match against CM Punk.
You know what? I really don't like how it was just thrown. The handicap match was just thrown together at the very last second. Again, just speaks volumes about how WWE is just writing on the fly and booking on the fly. So, but then again, they had to get Daniel Bryan some TV time. So. I do understand why they did it. I just thought they maybe could have executed it a little bit better. But
do you really like want to see a handicap match with those two guys just squashing CM Punk?
It doesn't really make
like what are we trying to explain here?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense to me. I don't see how it progresses Daniel Bryan and CM Punk forward. But
this is all of a culmination of CM Punk completely dissing John Laurinaitis and his voice earlier in the night. So are we seeing CM Punk running a story with John Laurinaitis, or are we seeing John Laurinaitis supposedly running a story with John Cena?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to intertwine the two programs together. But
because if you remember the night after WrestleMania when John Laurinaitis was made the he was made the general manager of both brands, and he starts, you know, the Monday Night Raw that you and I were at in Miami, he starts the whole people power gimmick.
Right.
And do you remember the first guy to stand up and speak out against John Laurinaitis when they were all back and all the wrestlers were back in the locker room? It was CM Punk,
right.
And so now you have CM Punk coming out again this Monday on Raw.
But I mean, they've been butting heads going all the way back to July of last year.
And that's what I'm asking. Like, what are we trying to accomplish with these two? Are we supposed to see Laurinaitis versus Cena at Over the Limit? Or is this Punk going to actually be involved with Laurinaitis all over again? Like, what? I'm just... The problem I'm trying to explain
here... I know, you're trying to make sense out of the whole
story. And it's the writing. Story. It comes down to the writing.
It totally does.
What are we trying to accomplish here? Mm-hmm. Because I'm left confused at this point.
Oh, you're not the only one.
Yeah, like, you have Cena apparently wrestling him, and then you got Punk bashing him on television... And it doesn't make any sense.
No.
I don't get it. And I don't know.
And I thought it was a poorly executed main event match. I mean, the screwed up Baldo bomb, the terrible claw that he put on after the... Like, you could see him chewing the mist capsule.
I know. It was blatantly obvious.
So, I don't know if it was, you know...
Well, that is...
But can you blame that kind of stuff on...
No.
On Tensai?
No,
or is that
no,
more,
you don't.
Or is that more like...
That's a director's call.
Exactly.
It's, you know, it's just the whole story, the whole show at this point, I'm just going to say, is in severe limbo. They need to clear it up. They need to get guys on television regularly, because that's what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys are taking holidays, I think, right now. Like, you don't have really Cena wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Well, he was there. You know, him and Kane had a match after Raw went off.
And that's my other point that I want to get at, because here we are talking about John Cena, and on Monday Night Raw we saw Cena live via satellite. Well, if you haven't heard already, after Monday Night Raw was over, there was a match for the live crowd, and John Cena was involved in it. Here we are having John Cena live via satellite
from the locker room.
Where was he again? I'm trying to remember where he was.
I don't know. You know what was so weird, because you could like, you can see like a boom mic and a camera in the background. It's like, where is this guy?
Let me just
via
give my
satellite
opinion.
From.
let me give my opinion on this. If you were gonna have a guy go live via satellite from his home or from another city, make it look like you are in his home or he is in his own city.
No kidding, that was just terrible.
Don't have studio lights and a backdrop behind him while he's live via satellite. It's obvious he's in the building.
Yeah.
Why do that?
I know.
And then you have him come out and wrestle a match after Raw's over? That's just insulting to the live crowd, if you ask me. It's like when you have to redo an entire match at a SmackDown taping. It's just completely insulting to the live crowd, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
I don't know. Don't, like, if Cena's on holidays, let him go on holidays. Why do we, like, what's the point of keeping him off Raw and then wrestling a dark match and just having him live via satellite? Like, what are we trying to say here, that he is on holidays when he really isn't? Like,
he has to rehab his arm because remember, he's got to drain his elbow twice a day.
But he can wrestle a match.
Drain your elbow twice a day? Come on.
But he can wrestle a match?
I know.
Oh my God, this is just disgusting.
Like, let's see. Last week on Raw, they used a chair on his arm. They used the ring steps on his arm. They stomped repeatedly on his arm. And the worst of the damage is he has to drain his elbow twice a day. I don't know. It just, yeah. It does.
No, I know.
It's just not logical, the writing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So
talking about Cena, do we get into the big news item of the day today?
Yes, we do.
We got to. I mean, it's
the big news item of the day. John Cena filing for divorce from his wife earlier today. TMZ reporting it.
And women everywhere cheering.
Yeah.
And laughing and dancing and clapping.
Now, if you are John Cena, well, first of all, if you are Vince McMahon, are you excited at the news that John Cena is now single?
Well, no, in the fact that this is kind of a bad press for John Cena in a way.
You never want to see a guy's marriage fail. No. That's for sure.
You don't want to see a guy's dirty laundry thrown out into the light. And unfortunately, that's what's happening. But mm-hmm. when you've got somebody that's the caliber of John Cena and all of a sudden he becomes single, well, you don't exactly keep that under wraps.
So right? Again, let me ask you the question. If you're Vince McMahon, are you excited at the news that your star attraction is now single? Maybe. And can now be seen with star-powered women celebrities, really? Really, this could be huge for the WWE.
This could be big, absolutely.
You could have, you know what Stacey Keibler and George Clooney is? You could have girls lining up at the door for your star attraction with the WWE. It's not out of the realm of possibility, because no. Cena would be a hot commodity in the celebrity dating market, don't you think?
Well, I'm sure he'd be a hot commodity in any dating market, but...
It's true, and it's such great news for the WWE. Not so good news for him, though.
No.
He did sign a prenup, though.
Well, apparently his wife has hired the defense attorney that Linda Hogan hired, actually. Mm-hmm. Guy's name is... what's his name here? Raymond Rafool. Can you believe that?
That's Raymond, such a good
name. I know. That's like better than half the wrestlers' names out there. Raymond Rafool.
So you have Linda's Hogan lawyer who represented her when she divorced from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
This same lawyer is going to represent John Cena's wife. Really, though, the difference is that Cena has
had a prenup. So he's not going to get... No, you know,
she's not going to get... Well, yeah.
Linda, she ended up walking away with like...
A lot.
I think it was reportedly like 70% of Hogan's assets or something stupid.
And Cena's wife may not even get to keep her wedding gifts.
Well, apparently there's a prenup agreement in place where Cena actually has a clause that gives him the ability to take back all gifts and presents that he may have given her.
Interesting.
So this could actually get really, really ugly.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. Like,
hey, at least he was smart enough to have a prenuptial agreement.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, unfortunately... The world that we live in nowadays, a prenuptial agreement almost just seems like a necessity now. Because really, marriages nowadays, they're legal binding contracts now.
Unless there is one loophole around that, James. And that's if your wife makes more money than you. Then you don't want to sign a prenup.
Then you just take what
that's
take
it.
Half of what
then
she's got.
Then you go for half of hers.
But generally, that never happens. So
you got to feel bad for Cena, though. 3 years of marriage... It's very tough to be married on the road in the WWE, for sure.
Oh.
I'm amazed. He got married 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that was right at the time of his height of success. And here he is, anchoring himself down. Maybe his plan was to start a family, right? But why are you doing that at a time when you are on the road 360 days a year?
No, it's tough. I can imagine. I mean, it's...
And we just saw her not too long ago.
On TV, that's
on
right.
On television.
I think it was like, a month ago, maybe.
I know exactly what killed this marriage.
All right. Dr. Corey, what killed this marriage?
The John Cena, Eve Torres kiss.
It all
His
went,
wife couldn't it, get over it.
It all went downhill from there.
His wife could not get over it. All right. That was Smack Talk Radio Live's quick take on a Thursday evening.
Yes, it was.
A very abbreviated edition of Quick Take this week.
You know what? I feel bad that we haven't been putting out a full show lately, but I mean,
We've been dealing with a lot of personal
things. It's just been crazy in our lives, and sometimes you just can't find the time required.
You know what? I'm not even blaming it on that, James. I'm blaming it on this. It's the post-WrestleMania lull.
Oh, don't give me that post-WrestleMania lull.
There's not a lot to talk about these days. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, we just filled half an hour and there's nothing to talk about.
I'm coming off the WrestleMania high.
I'm shooting everything you got down, my friend. I'm sorry.
It's tough for me to get excited about this stuff right now. It is. It has nothing to do with the show. I still love doing the show. I'm just saying the actual product.
Yes.
I can be extremely negative at times, and I feel like right now what I'm seeing, I would be quite negative.
You know what?
So I'm holding back.
Maybe we should start expanding our horizon a little bit here. Maybe we should start taking a look at TNA and Ring of Honor.
Well, maybe. SmackDown?
SmackDown would be a start.
No, I don't want to talk SmackDown. I won't. You know what I actually want to do, James?
Really,
I would rather talk about old pay-per-views that you and I watched together and go over those and talk about those before I will talk about TNA or SmackDown.
You know what? I got a fantastic DVD that you and I should watch and actually do a review on for Smack Talk. It's that Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Greatest Rivalries DVD.
That would be interesting.
Fantastic watch.
Okay, well then how about before we get out of here, we ask the public, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels DVD, if you've seen it, send us your thoughts because maybe we'll review it. In fact, James, let's go out on a limb right now and say you and I will review it.
Yes, we will.
Email us your thoughts about that DVD on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Send us your thoughts, opinions. We'll read it on the air during the review. This was Thursday evening. Smack Talk Radio Live's quick take. We're going to be back on Monday for SRL on a Monday night.
That's right.
I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
And we'll see you on Monday.
To you tonight.